Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen the Warman Writes Kickfighting Podcast Show. I'm your host, Stephen the Warman. You are listening to this kickboxing podcast in one of two ways. Either you are at my blog, which is lrdgaul.podbean.com. I try to upload something to it once a week. I've been really, really consistent. As I said, I'm trying to give you guys an episode all the way through the end of the year. Also, I want to don't forget, you can also, in the most efficient way to get the show, is through the iTunes search engine by entering Warman Kickfighting Show, and the show pops right up. So, I'm back. I'm back in the stadiums. I went and sat down and focused real hard on straight up full rules Muay Thai. I felt like I had let people down this year. I just hadn't been able to focus on the podcast with as much movement as I've done and as much work that I've been doing as far as work with my fighters and my gym moving and all that stuff. So to sit down and do the Thai fights, you had to sit down and break them down. You know, I can't just go off results because, you know, they fight each other so much. The real stories happen kind of when you watch the breakdown of the action. So I'll go ahead and jump right into it. These fights will be all over the place, but really I'm talking about the fights that kind of took place over the last 2 weeks. So I'm going to miss some, but I'm going to get you on the most important ones, and I'll go ahead and just get it started. First of all, it's very important, if you listen to this podcast show, that you are subscribed to Muay Thais on both Facebook and on YouTube. So that's Muay, M-U-A-Y, and then Thais, T-I-E-S, like ties, like a tie that you would wear. Definitely very, very important. If you listen to this podcast, that you go to that show. Like, that's big. Also, following me, you'll hear fights. I'll break them down. I'll spell them out. But if you want to go find where I got this information from, where I watch these fights at, I will save you the time and tell you exactly who I get my Muay Thai from. I watch fights, of course, that I see from other people, you know, Muay Thai guy and so on, people who've been posting over the years. But right now, Muay Thai is the main person that I go to when I break down fights. I'm going to go ahead and get it started with probably a fight, you know, one of the fights of the year. This fight was between Kong Tornee, K-O-N-G-T-O-R-A-N-E-E, against Teptoxin, T-E-P, T-A-K-S-I-N, one of Sor Samai Jim and the other of Sor Song Singh, and that would be Teptoxin. So the fight gets started off with basically you're in your fill-out first round. And in the fill-out first round, every once in a while you'll see the, you know, someone faint and then throw something serious, but most of the time it's blocked or faint, or they're both just trying to get the flow of each other. Not so much here. And in exchange, Kong Tornee threw a combo, and after the combo, instead of retreating, he hung out in the pocket just a moment longer, and he slipped a up elbow in the inside with his left hand. So he popped the up elbow, scored with the big left elbow, and down goes Teptoxin. Teptoxin was in trouble as the onslaught followed. Kong Tornee was all over him, pushing the pace, throwing big shots, but he was also using a lot of energy, also wearing himself down, also, you know, the power shots kind of took from him a little bit. In that moment, Teptoxin was able to regain composure. He was out of it when he went back to his corner, and they were able to, you know, get the smelling salts into his nose, rub off the legs, get him active, get him back. So then at the early part of the round, even though he was still being outscored, he was kind of calling him on. You know, he's like, all right, you know, give me some more. Give me another kick. Give me another punch. And he was battling back. The reason why he was doing it was he was looking for his opportunity to score something big in between. So kickboxing exchanges dominated the middle portion of that round, and then all of a sudden, Teptoxin found that he had an advantage in the clinch due to how much Kong Tornee had burnt himself out on just playing that power game, thinking that he's going to get the KO early. So Teptoxin took over the fight with big knees in the clinch. There were some exchanges still, but he really, really got aggressive. And then I want to say in the third round, he scores up into the fourth round. He was able to score a down with the knee. Big knee scores, and then a series of knees, and then all of a sudden, Kong Tornee goes down. Then the reverse happened. Teptoxin, looking to get back into the fight, used a lot of his own effort. And then all of a sudden, second wind found Kong Tornee. He started to score some offense. He scored a head kick, but it was only the foot that got up. So started to battle back. Round five, both guys still took it as if it was still up for grabs for moments. And then Teptoxin was able to knock Kong Torini off balance in one of their exchanges. He was probably winning and scored more in that fifth final frame anyways, but he had come back. He'd gone from being KO'd in the first round to all the way back into the fight and getting his hands raised. Really one of the fights of the year. Definitely check that one out. Really, really good stuff. And one of the cooler KOs you're going to see, we had a... basically, it's a double up of the right hand. I'll go ahead and break it down as technically as I can. Watcherophon of PK Santai Gym knocks out Kang Kwa Duang of Hurangmaneng Mekeng Gym. Sorry, I knew I was going to pronounce that one wrong. I was getting my pronunciations right until that moment, but Hurangmaneng Gym. Basically, Watcherophon backed him up with feints, backed him up with offense, and he threw a right downstairs. And then after he scored the right to the belly button, he gets the shoulder back and he brings the next shot upstairs, getting the attention of the shot down downstairs, making sometimes people do to protect their body, they'll extend their hands. That way, when you come close, they can get into the grapple and buy themselves some time. But instead, Watcherophon went upstairs and he scored another clean right hand, scoring a big KO over Kang Kwa Dang. Sorry. And I thought that was one of the more technical breakdowns, or excuse me, one of the more technical KOs. I just like that. I call it, some people call it resetting. I call it pullback. But whenever you can score that shot, get your shoulder and hip back, and then throw another powerful shot right after it, it's really good stuff. It's something that I really prize when I teach. So I love when I see it work in action. I'm going to go ahead and go through the rest of the fights. What was it? I'll go with Rafi gets a victory over Itachi. So I don't know if I've mentioned him enough on the show. I think I've mentioned him maybe one other time. But it's really important that I really acknowledge this guy for, you know, the kind of good work that he's done. And French Muay Thai just in general. But the fighter, he finds out of Sing Patong Gym. But his name is Rafi Bohic. And Rafi is a yet another Frenchman. He'd be... the fourth that I can think of, Bohinen's one, Damien Alamos is another one, and I know I'm forgetting someone. Hold on, I had it in my notes. I'm going to drive myself crazy because someone else from France won a stadium title, or at least won a title and a major title and a stadium. It was Murad Sarri, that's who it was. But you're starting to see it more and more. The dominance of the French Muay Thai fighters, because they're starting to, because in right now in France, MMA is still illegal, boxing's good, judo's really, really big, but Muay Thai has got really good promoters who've been doing shows for a long time. It's not expensive to do shows there, and there's a lot of gyms, so they're producing really good athletes that are pursuing the kickboxing and Muay Thai sports. So not only are they doing that, but these athletes are now also traveling and going to Thailand and going to the other parts of the world to, you know, show their showcase their skill sets and put themselves up against the best. So right now, one of the better guys in the game right now is Rafi. And Rafi is just... he's really strong in this fight. He showed a good job with the clinch. He's got a good body kick game from a distance. He's just a powerful guy. And sometimes he can just catch you and just throw you off balance just because of his strength in the division. Itachi had some moments, but really this went to the stronger Rafi, who remains Lumpini Stadium champion. Very, very talented guy. Definitely check him out if you get a chance. This fight's really easy. Rafi's just R-A-F-I, and then Itachi was A-T-T-A-C-H-A-I. Very, very simple, to easy one to break down. Going to go ahead and move further down the card, or further down these fights, as Watchalong gets a victory over Boonlung. Watchalong, again, just too skilled, was able to win. A lot of this was a kickboxing mount, like more kickboxing than I was expecting between these two. Not a lot of clinch exchanges. I thought that there was a moment where both were having a lot of success with combination and body kick and movement and body kick and body kick return and check and return. I thought that there was good back and forth action there. I thought when they got into the clinch, neither guy wanted to hang out in it long. I thought most of their game was dictated on they wanted to play a kickboxing sort of game. And I thought they did some good stuff. So after that score, after that offense was, going back and forth. I still thought going into the final frame it was close enough to have gone either way. And then I believe a kick was caught. And then Boonlung was taken off balance right in the final frame, right as both guys were kind of trying to decide on whether or not they wanted to keep the action going. Close fight. And I definitely thought that Wanchulong was the rightful winner, but definitely good stuff by Boonlung. W-A-N-C-H-A-L-O-N-G for Wanchulong, and then B-O-O-N-L-U-N-G for Boonlung. Gonna keep going down this card. Pan Payuk and Sangmini fought to a draw. Nobody likes a draw, but this one actually had some decent action in it. Of course, if you're going to see Pan Payuk, now there's a lot of Pan Payuks, the one that's in the bigger weight classes. He's fighting about 126 right now. The other one, I believe, is fighting around 112-ish, maybe 118. But Pan Payuk really, really lets the left leg go, and he's long, and he gets into the clinch. But Sangmini is so smart, been in the game so long, he was able to be very competitive in the clinch, too. I thought going down the stretch, maybe Pan Payuk would have taken it, but no one really separated themselves, and it went to a draw. Next fight I'm going to talk about, let me see, Yan Punerong gets a victory over Chumok Tong. That one was okay action in there, kind of not really standout-ish. I won't really profile that one, but I did want to bring up the fact that there was a victory there. Now I'm going to go back to my technical breakdown, because my favorite KO of the weekend came from Little Wada as he gets a KO over Nan Tuck Rit. Basically, what happened in this fight, this KO by Little Wada was awesome. So, L-I-T-T-E-W-A-D-A. And Nong Tukrit, N-O-N-T-A-K-R-I-T. This KO is just, it's the mind of Muay Thai at its finest. So basically what's going on in this fight is Nong Tukrit did a great job early of landing a lot of body kicks, a lot of movement, a lot of, you know, standing strong, couple steps forward, making a heavier counter kick return, really not getting into the grapple, not as much, but mainly standing outside with subtle steps and so on. Whereas Little Wada was looking for boxing here and there, looking to let the body kicks go here and there. But really, he would try to get into the clinch, and Tukrit wasn't having it, trying to play a distance game. So then Little Wada decides he's going to start playing the body kick game. Now, this is how this setup happens. He starts playing it with the lead leg, and then he puts some boxing behind it. Nan Tukrit, after taking a body kick and some combinations, he called them on, pumped his chest and so on. So in response to this, and this is just super slick, Little Wada throws a switch kick with the right leg, and then he steps back. Nan Tukrit tried to throw a kick back, but he got off balance. So then he quickly moves his feet into position so that he can throw some offense again. Little Wada then is going to lift up his right knee. Let me rewind that. It was the right switch kick that scored, and then he backed up. Sorry, softball stance. Right switch kick scored, and then he stepped back. The off balance happened to Nan Tukrit, and then he closed the distance looking to get the score back, because no one likes to be knocked off balance in Muay Thai. It scores against you in the cards. So he closes the distance, and a really sneaky switch knee looks like it's coming up, but really it's just a feint, and Little Wada just picks up his right knee. Thinking that it's going to be a kick exchange, Nan Tukrit throws his straight left, trying to counter a punch on the kick. He thought that he was seeing a kick coming. Instead, he saw a knee come up, and he threw a punch at a guy who wasn't off balance, but a guy who was ready for him. When that punch came, very, very intelligently, Little Wada got himself outside of the straight left, came back with a 3-2 counter, and just wiped Nan Tukrit out clean. Just as technical a breakdown as you could possibly, a performance as you can possibly see leading into a stoppage. There's a game played before it. First, you're not playing the kick game. Then all of a sudden, you start playing the quick kick game with your switch kick. Then they get on to it, and they were like, okay, well, you're scoring kicks and punches. I need to go ahead and get some of this back. So as, and again, he's still, you know, game fighter looking for his opportunity. As Nan Tukrit thought that he was playing a counter shot or throwing the punch to counter the kick that he thought was coming, instead, no kick came, got himself to the outside of the straight shot, came back with a 3-2, big-time KO. Little Wada, that's how it's done. We move on to probably always going to be my favorite fights if they're on there. I'll finish the show with Muay Thai, because Muay Thai is legit. We'll talk about Nong Rose versus Pet Sapan. Of course, Nong Rose is very, very popular. The starting to make waves because transgender fighter, and you can visibly see the what the hormones are now doing to the body, breasts coming out, and the features on his face are starting to get more feminine, despite the fact that the rest of his body is strong. But Nong Rose is competing in the stadiums at a really high level and having success. So Petsapon came out very, very slick with the kickboxing and the movement. Nong Rose tried to play the battle back with the kick game. That's what Rose likes to get into. But Petsapon was not having it. He was able to get into clinch exchange, dominate the clinch exchanges, not just with the pummel, but he was able to score with the knees and get big turns and score big dumps in the clinch. Petsapon won very, very convincingly. That is Petsapon, Petsupan, and Nong Rose, Nong, and then Rose, Rose. I will go ahead and finish now with Muay Thai versus Khalib Don. And let me tell you something. It's just Muay Thai brings the violence, period. But the interesting thing about this fight is Khalib Don, K-U-L-A-B-D-A-M, and then Muang Thai, M-U-A-N-G-T-H-A-I, or Meng Thai, those particular athletes, those particular fighters, man, I can't stress you guys enough that if this same fight were to take place in Europe, I think Khalib Don probably would have won it. I think that he had made up his mind, and I've said it on the show before, the boxing score is one of the scores that they score the least in Thailand. So if you're going to score the boxing, you pretty much have to drop somebody. The scores that they give the highest to are the body kicks, because it's very, very difficult to score a body kick and get your leg back. It can be checked. It can be caught. You can slide out of the way with it. And that's why, of course, Thais get that big, powerful body kick. So that one scores really, really well. And then that technique scores really, really well. And the low kicks can come into play, but you've got to hurt someone with the low kicks because they see it as an easy score. In this situation, Muay Thai played very, very patient, was looking to go in. He had a really savvy game with his right knee. So real early on, he scored a knee on over punching. He knew he scored it good too. So Khalib Don threw a strike. He scored a knee underneath it. He then went to the clinch, scored another knee. He then threw a punch down there. He threw a kick, then went back to the knee, played a really patient game. Meanwhile, Khalib Don knew the entire time that things were not going in his favor. So he was aggressive, throwing big power shots, trying to work himself back into the fight with big, strong combos. And he's scoring him. He's scoring him because Muay Thai is right there to be hit. Muay Thai, not known for his head movement, he's going to bring the battle. He bites down on the mouthpiece and says, who wants more? He then goes into the second round and realizes the advantage that, or the work that he put in, or excuse me, goes into the fourth frame, realizing that the work that he did in the second and third frame was starting to show up. He started to score tons of sweeps. One of my favorite sweeps that he did was Nantikrit threw a body kick and rested it, put on the what we call the shin guard. He put a guard up to, and he held on to the neck almost to kind of defend from a countering kick. But what Muay Thai did was, as he felt the shin come across him, he grabbed onto the body and he slid back a couple of feet, making Nantikrit extend his body and get off balance, and then he pulled with his left arm and he put him on his back. It was just a really, really slick move. Outside of that, because he had scored so many knees and body kicks, Nantikrit was trying to brace himself for the shot, and when he braced himself for the shot, he would just get swept. Over and over and over, he got swept. That, combined with more knee work, combined with more body work, you can just see that he was just beaten up and put into the corner. Khalib Don was game. He was doing his best to fight back, but Muay Thai was just too much, and he was able to absorb the boxing of Khalib Don. Because I'm telling you, when Khalib Don threw hands, he was scoring big shots, and the kind of shots that would have won him scorecards if he fought in Japan, if he fought in England, if he fought pretty much anywhere else, that kind of boxing would have gotten him those rounds. But the heavy work, the work that really showed up as far as visible, it was visible that Khalib Don was being embarrassed by the sweeps, was being dropped by the dumps, and was getting work to the body with knees and kicks. Muay Thai gets the victory there. Very, very good stuff. So, 20 minutes, folks. 20 minutes on the stadiums. I have not done the best job, and I apologize for that. My goal, of course, with this show is to bring a kickboxing and Muay Thai to the forefront, and I do a good job of catching the international fights, and I don't always do the best job of catching the stadium fights, because I said before, I gotta sit down, I gotta break them down, I gotta make sure that I'm seeing everything full, and I do apologize for that. That is not my goal. I want you guys, if you're a fan of kickboxing and Muay Thai, you can once a week sit down, or once every other week if I have a gap. Mostly it's gonna be once a week. I want you guys to be like, you know what? I want to know what's going on in the world of kickboxing. I want to know what's going on in the world of Muay Thai. I'm going to sit down and listen to this podcast, and he's got it. He's got a breakdown of it. He's seen it. And I usually do see everything. But this year, man, it's just been tough for me. I mean, just haven't had them as much time. But it's really important to me that I got back to this. And, I mean, I was grateful for the people who have hung with me despite the fact that I may not have gotten to your favorite card. Again, it is not my intentions, and I'm hoping that, you know, as we move forward, that there really is the opportunity for more high-level Muay Thai to be discussed. So I'm going to go ahead and move now into kickboxing, as Kun Loon put on a great card. Kun Loon 67 went down, Bukau getting a big victory over Tuto, and other results. I'll go ahead and do this to the best of my ability. This is a huge card, so please forgive. I won't be able to get it all, but I'll be able to get a lot of it. So Bai Lushui gets victory over Hu Jiang. Pen Lejeune gets a victory over Wu Kangal. That was a knockout. Miyokoshi Sichiro gets a victory over Hu Zhu by decision. And then we'll go ahead and get into the 66kg tournament, which really was one of the main things that they are profiling on this card. So we have, in the early portions of the tournament, Kerimov gets a TKO victory. Singdom gets a TKO victory over Takmasib Kerimov by TKO. And I don't have the round, but I have the result there. David Mejia, I've mentioned him on the show before. He gets a victory by knockout over Sung Jiang. And then we have Ilias Belaid, the truth. Ilias Belaid gets Pitch Tanong Banjamek. Let me tell you something about this. Ilias Belaid is one of the most entertaining fighters to watch. He came out, combinations flying, letting those hands go, really having a lot of success with his offense. Pitch Sanong came out really consistent with the switch kick to the body, the straight power leg, the knee to the body. It really was a clash of styles. And again, this is one of those fights where the reverse could have happened. I mentioned to you a stadium fight that could have gone a different way if it was over in another part of the world. This is a fight that could have gone a different way if it was in Thailand. Ilias Belaid came out and scored the cleaner kickboxing because he throws so fast. He throws so fast and combos, and he's landing 5 and 6, and he puts like a knee or kick on the end of it. It just looks like he's dominating rounds. He's got the switch stance when he throws his big shots. He's just a really, really smooth guy. Pech Tanong did a really good job. Plus, Ilias Belaid also scored a combo that scored a down with a knee in the first round, so Pech Tanong was fighting from behind the whole time. But by the end of round three, he had gotten the fight to where he wanted it to be. And you wonder what the fight would have looked like. It was a, you know, five-rounder. But it was not. It was a three-rounder. Ilias Belaid did the good early work to get up on the cards. And then he was able to get the victory. Shout out to the ref doing a good job in this fight. We talked about refs and stuff on the show before. I thought he did a good job of just not getting involved. He got into breaks here and there, but he let both guys do their style, and he didn't impose himself on the fight. So really, really good stuff. It's just, you want to see more action like this. It's really good. Shout out to Evan Boris, who, you know, sent me this. I was looking for it, and I knew I'd find it eventually, and then it kind of got all over the place, but Evan sent it to me first, so I definitely want to give love to him. Moving down the card, Yang Zhao gets a victory over Wing Nihai by decision, and that was the first round. We then moved to a 70kg tournament, quarterfinals. Sergey Kulaba gets a victory over Nikola Kamisa by decision. Dennis Zuev, who they've used many times, he's fought in Japan several times too, gets a victory over Johan Dre by decision. Victor Nagby has a really nice victory over Wu Zhu Song. The reason why I liked it was because he came out and he had scored well with the body kicks. He then scores a switch kick to the body, sees that it scores, closes the distance patiently, throws a 3-2 to the body, a 3-2 combination all downstairs, One hook to the outside, straight shot down the middle, scores the KO. I actually was able to get this because someone who watched the fight YouTubed it from their phone. Much love. Much love. The phone, you have no idea how many phone fights I get. Scores the big victory for Victor Nagumi. He's just a good guy who I want to see on cards all the time. There's never a moment where I see that he's in a card and I'm disappointed. Very, very good fighter. Keeping, you know, Australian Muay Thai on the international scene, because he's probably the guy most competing and most keeping getting his hands raised out there. So shout out to Nagumi. I'm going to move down this card. We have, what is it? Zhao, then Yang Zhao, then gets the victory over David Mejia. And then we have Sigdam gets a victory over Pang Yuying. And that's in the 66 tournament. It should be noted that the fight, I said, with Ilias Belaid, it was not in the tournament. It was a single fight. So the winner of that, of those fights, Zhao Zhang and Sigdam met. And the decision went to Yang Zhao. Sigdam just didn't have as much offense in the last frame. Definitely good stuff there by Yang Zhao, who, again, another Chinese fighter making a name for themselves thanks to the Kunlun tournament format. Good fighter, putting on a good show. I want to see more of this young man. Going to go ahead and move back into the single fight and other tournament field. Kong Ling Feng gets a victory over Epide by decision. Murat Gregorian gets a victory over Mohamed Mazari. This fight broke my heart because it happened too early. I thought that these guys had a really good chance to meet in the finals of the tournament, or at least later into the tournament. So when it happened here, I was definitely disappointed. But Murat Gregorian, still about that combination life, still about letting those hands go. More powerful, more seasoned against high-level opposition. Mohamed Mazari had moments. He just wasn't enough to beat Murat Gregorian, who should get far into the tournament. Also, Superbon gets a victory over David Kiria. Scores were closer than I thought on a lot of them. 30-29, a 29-29, a 30-28, 30-27. To me, Superbon is the clearly better than David Kiria, who is locked up. He's no longer going to fight in Glory. He's locked up in a Kunlun. He wants to fight for them. They pay him pretty good. But I personally, just as my personal opinion, I was disappointed. I was disappointed that Superbon didn't show more tools, because he's got more tools. And if I look at this fight and I looked at the Muhammad Kamal fight, he's fighting in a way where some people are going to get that decision over him. But he's savvy. He does great things defensively. He scores clean and gets away. Superbon can fight. Sometimes I want him to turn it up on people, though. Bu Fufan gets a victory over Rem and Kolber. And then we have the main event. Bukau Bechamek gets a victory over Moran Tatu by KO. And let me tell you something. This is one of the best Bukau KOs since his Thai fight days. And, you know, I mean, you could go ahead and you guys remember when they used to be like, somebody gets beat up, they get straight Thai fighted. This was probably worse than a Thai fight. Bukau, after, of course, dominating the fight, lands one of the cleanest left hooks you're going to see, and Murat Tatu went down. He went down in the way that, Suzuki? I'm missing the name. The shoot fighter that, I can't fail myself right now. But anyways, one of Bukau's best victories since since he knocked out Shishido in the showcase of K1 versus shoot boxing that they had years ago, more than 10 years ago. He, on a step back, landed a clean left hook and got Shishida out of there. This KO over Tatu was one of the best KOs since that one. That was just some gnarly, vicious stuff. So, Bukau, I'm telling you, man, this guy's legit. He's one of the best fighters in the world still. He's older. He's not what he was. But I'm telling you, you put him against any of these guys that are ranked highly. Remember, Dylan Salvador fought for the Glory title earlier this year. Bukau beat Dylan Salvador last year. Like, he is such a talented guy. So I'm hoping that he gets another opportunity to fight at a high level. I'm just impressed by him. I'm just impressed by him. At this age, he still works hard. It's not like he's out there drinking. The only thing that people get on him about are his management decisions, you know what I'm saying, and who he fights and who he fights for, and that, you know, sometimes he doesn't get the opportunity to compete as much, and he's not going against the best guys in the world like he used to, but he's still capable of it. You know, if Yotsen Klai mentioned the injuries, but if Yotsen Klai came back, an injured Yotsen Klai came out and put in a dominant performance, and then he said, I'm just not what I was. I'm too hurt. I'm going to have to walk away from this game. But that guy's still awesome. If he decided tomorrow, I said, you know what, I changed my mind, I want to keep fighting. Jotunklad had fight with the best. Jodor Petrosian, not fighting the best guys as much anymore. You know, go ahead, and he's keeping it on in Italy. He hasn't trained to fight in quite some time. And he's beating everybody that they send his way. But he's beating them dominantly. These three guys, who are arguably the best guys in the 2000s, are still some of the best fighters in the world. And it's crazy that they are still up there. They're still that good. But shout out to them. Good work. Shout out to Bugao. Everybody loves the stoppage. Just really good stuff. I'll be back next week, folks. Be back with another kickboxing podcast. It'll be Thanksgiving. That's a holiday that we have here in the States. I know not everybody has Thanksgiving, but we have it here in the States. And I will try to get something. It'll either be Friday of next week. More likely, it'll be Friday. It could be Tuesday. It could be earlier. I wouldn't even rule out a Wednesday. So I just gave you three of the next 7 days you could get a podcast from me. Thanks for listening. God bless everybody. And keep watching kickboxing. Keep watching Muay Thai. And if you get the opportunity, if it's in your hometown, go check out the athletes. Support them. Help them to accomplish their dreams and help them with their financial security. Because the more eyes that come out, the more money that they get paid. God bless everybody. Have a good one. Peace.